Okay, so the reading today is from Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Andy. Short and sweet. Short and sweet today. So let's just be honest for a minute. Baptism is one of those things that's a bit weird if you're not in church. Let's all watch Billy and Helen get into warm water in the front of church, take a quick plunge bath, and then all cheer at the end. It's a bit weird. And baptism might be weird, but it's also so rich in its meaning and its significance. So for those of you who don't have a clue what you've walked into today and don't have a clue what's going on, you're in the right place. Don't worry, all will become clear. Stay tuned. So we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so thinking about baptism. Now, in the Bible, as we heard from Andy, it records what happened when Jesus was baptized, 2,000 years ago. And so we're going to start there, and then afterwards we'll think about what happens when we get baptized as followers of Jesus. You with me? So Jesus' baptism. Have you all seen pictures like this before? It's beautiful, isn't it? What are some of the words you'd use to describe this scene? Just shout them out to me. Peaceful, hopeful, glittery, kind of glittery, yeah, like maybe magical in some ways. Any others? Full of joy. I would say that this scene almost looks spa-like, peaceful, harmonious, calm, spa-like. Jesus had a spa afternoon when he was baptized. Yes, it's as if angels have just opened up the sky just a little bit, enough for the Holy Spirit to squeeze out in the form of a dove as Jesus is submerged in these calm and peaceful waters. But that's not quite how Mark describes the scene. He actually describes heaven being torn open as Jesus is brought out of the water. And then there's this booming voice, the voice of God speaking over Jesus, which would have been so scary for anybody who was watching. In the Old Testament, there are loads and loads of stories about people passing through water as it miraculously is parted before them. Think Moses crossing the Red Sea as he runs away from slavery in Egypt. He runs towards the Red Sea. God parts it miraculously before him, and they all pass on dry land. Or there's a story with Joshua, who also crosses the flooded River Jordan in the same way. It miraculously just parts as they need to cross. And there are loads of other stories similar in the Old Testament. There's some related to Elijah and Elisha. These stories of God's people being physically rescued from slavery, they then pass through water in order to step into what God has promised them, a new land, a new kingdom, a new way of living. But here, when Jesus is submerged in the water, it's not the water that parts for him, but heaven itself, the sky, the source of all water, opens. And it's as if Jesus comes out of the water, heaven is torn open. It's like heaven itself can't contain, what is happening in this moment. Jesus is baptized and all heaven breaks loose. Now, Jesus then spent his time from here on in loving the unlovely, freeing the captive, touching those who were untouchable, healing the hurting and calming the chaos in all those that he met. Jesus, God with skin on, came to show us the way of love. And the love that he showed people was nothing short of radical and revolutionary. In fact, it was so offensive to the religious authorities of the day, who had totally lost the plot and were obsessed with following rules, that they whipped up a crowd in order to put him to death, to put a stop to this love that was causing such chaos. Jesus, then, the only innocent man who ever lived, was hung on a Roman cross, dying the death of a criminal. And in his final breaths, he declared, "It is finished." And he died. But at this point, bearing in mind this was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness descended over the entire earth. The earth shook, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, this wasn't just some random curtain. This was the curtain in the temple. And this curtain was so, so significant. Firstly, it was extremely thick. You know, it was not able to naturally tear on its own. But it also cornered off a space in the temple where God's presence dwelt. So God's presence dwelt one side of the curtain was there, and then the other side was everybody else. And people could not go into God's presence because it was too intense and too holy. But suddenly, this curtain has torn from the top to the bottom. God was no longer contained to a single space. Heaven was torn open. God was on the move. But in this story, you know, a few years before this, heaven is torn, the skies are torn, and out comes God's Spirit, descending on Jesus like a dove. Now, this is like a little taste of what is to come when Jesus gives his life for us. It's like a lick of the spoon before you taste the cake that is baking in the oven. It's just a little glimpse of what is to come. So imagine that. Imagine you're at the scene. You see and hear heaven being torn open, and then God's Spirit glides down from the gap. Not a mighty eagle or a wise owl or a swooping bird of prey, but a gentle dove, the symbol of peace. Talk about an anticlimax. You know, you hear this dramatic thing and then out pops a dove, just gently gliding down. But is that not just the perfect picture of who our God is? You know, sky-tearingly awesome, almighty, powerful, and dove-like, gentle, peaceful, and quiet. Now, where else in the Bible do we see God's Spirit hovering over water? Any Bible geeks in the room? Don't all rush at once. Genesis 1, thank you, Genesis 1. At the beginning, the very, very first verse in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And the whole universe was created." Now, obviously, that happened thousands of years before this event. But here, at Jesus' baptism, it's as if creation is given a fresh start. God's Spirit is hovering over the waters again, but of baptism this time. Redemption is coming. All that stuff that went wrong, all of the darkness that crept in, all of the evil that is busy doing its worst, all of this will be redeemed. And we see this plan being set in motion, even in Jesus' baptism. And so in this one picture, Jesus' baptism points to the past, you know, like thousands and thousands of years before Jesus, and points to the beginning again, a new creation, a future where all will be redeemed. What happens next? Let's look at those words spoken by God the Father. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, I spent the first 6 years of my life living in South London, and we'd say something like that. You know, I'm well pleased. So maybe God has a Cockney twang. That's what I'm taking from this. Who knows? But the important thing here to know is that this is Mark chapter 1. Okay, this is before anybody knows who Jesus is and before he's done anything cool, any miracles, anything worthy of note. He hasn't achieved anything in particular. You know, so often, I think, we can think that God is at best distant, you know, up there in the cloud somewhere, not really caring about us, or at worst, being angry and disappointed and sad with us. Now, maybe you need to hear those words from God the Father today. Now, before you achieved anything, "I loved you. You're my child. I'm well pleased with you." So what is baptism for us? What are you about to do, Billy and Helen? Our baptism is us saying yes to all of the above and joining in. Now, when we get baptized, we participate on a micro level to what God is doing on a macro level. As Jesus died, he took to death with him all the power of evil and sin. And as he rose again, he left all that other stuff behind in the grave and rose victorious from it. For those who follow Jesus, you know, like Moses or Joshua in the Old Testament, we have gone on a journey from slavery and darkness, passed through water, and are stepping into the freedom that God has promised us. You know, baptism is us joining in with what Jesus has done. His story is one of dying and rising, and as we are lowered into the water, in a sense, we are putting to death all the things that pull us away from Jesus. And as we come up from the waters, we rise in victory, in the hope of heaven, not just for the future, but even for now. And from then on, you live for Jesus. You know, you follow him. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we saw that in this dove that came and rested on him. And we know Billy and Helen well. We know that they are also filled with the Holy Spirit now. But we will pray that you get a special, refreshing filling with the Holy Spirit today as you get baptized. And so heaven is torn open. God's Spirit is hovering like a dove and at work, fulfilling his promises to bring redemption and renewal to this world and to us. And before you've done anything cool, before you've achieved anything, God is speaking over you. Billy, Helen, no, insert your name here. You are mine. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Amen.